Good morning. Blessed baptism to Janet and Joy. Really wonderful, you know, whenever we see have a baptism service, I think all of us, the Christians, right, we're reminded of our vows to Christ and how we were transformed. We are dead to sin, you're alive in Christ. Death has no grip on you, right? You can die peacefully, you know, everyone has to die. But when we Christians die, it is our start. It's the start of our wonderful time in eternity, you know, where there's no weeping, no sickness, no illness. And that is the joy that Christians get to share. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, so baptism is a significant milestone for you guys as we outwardly declare our faith in Jesus Christ. As we all are reminded today, so may we all grow in our love for Jesus every day for all of us. Amen. Let's come to God in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you. And we rejoice with all of heaven for every person that comes to you. Lord, we worship you. And may you be with us today as we read your word. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the most important elements in any relationship is communication, right? For those of us who have been married for a long time, not me, couple of years, but it is evident that communication is one of the key elements, right? Even if you're not married, even with your friends, with your children, with your relatives, communication is very important. And so for our scripture today, as Leanne read, it brings us to the feet of Jesus, where he personally teaches his disciples how to pray, right? And that's a Christian word for actually talking to God. So it is about communication. Before we dive into the scripture for today, we must first of all remember that as believers in Jesus Christ, all of us have direct access to the Creator God. Amen. Right? We get to come to God in prayer with confidence, not because we are very good people, but because when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins are paid for. Our sins are forgiven, and then we have the righteousness of God. So that is the reason why we can come to God with no fear, all right? And you are God's beloved child. You can come to him with confidence. And today, as we come before the Lord and sit at Jesus' feet, literally, right, when you read the, it's as if Jesus was teaching us, perhaps you might be asking a similar question that the disciples were asking. You know, teach us to pray. For context, I just need to share a little bit of context on this. So verse 1 tells us, right, why they were asking this question. Verse 1 says, the disciples were asking Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist, taught his disciples. Culturally, it hints at the religious and cultural practice of that time. It's this thing called the rabbinic prayer instruction. So what the people do, so they were followers. A rabbi, a teacher, right, has a group of followers and what they call the disciples, right, and they will follow and learn about the word and the scriptures and actually teaching them prayers, right, scripted prayers, or, you know, it is a mark of the group identity, okay? It was a mark of spiritual identity, you know, oh, I follow this rabbi, you know, he taught me to pray like that. So similarly, the disciples wanted a prayer that Jesus would teach them. Because Jewish tradition had fixed prayers and they had certain structures. So of course, Jesus, as always, answered with the best answers. And he started off with a prescribed format. So he directly responded to their question, right? Gave them the Lord's Prayer, of which many of us have memorized it by heart. An excellent response. Now the disciples had a prayer to identify with. But in a world where prayers defined who they followed, Jesus didn't just give a script. He took it as an opportunity to give them a window into the Father's heart. The Lord's Prayer isn't about performance, about reciting the best prayers. It was about belonging to the Father's house. It is about knowing the Father's heart. So as always, we have 3 points. My first point is this. We pray boldly because God is a Father. Jesus was teaching them that this is not just a ritual. He starts the prayer off by saying, Our Father. Or he says, Father. Father suggests a relationship. And then he goes on to say, your kingdom come. Shows us where our hearts should be, prioritizing God's purposes. And of course, after that, there were some subsequent requests pointing us towards our dependence on God for what Jesus highlights as our key needs, several key needs in life, right? Food, provision, forgiveness, protection from evil, from temptation. This format is the heart posture of a disciple who knows God as Father. Father, ever since I became a father, right, this word took on a whole new meaning. It isn't just a title. It is a role. Anyone can become a father, but to become a real father means so many profound things at the same time. It speaks of authority, of strength, of wisdom, speaks of protection, selflessness, fun. You have to be endearing at times, wanting to see the children happy and laughing and having a good time. But at the same time, there are moments where you have to be firm with boundaries, right? Even though the child screams, cries, throws a tantrum, you have to hold firm to the boundary. I can go on and on about what it means even in my young tenure as a father, but at the heart of it, what does a good father want, right? A good father should want the best for his children because he loves them. He wants them to grow up happy and healthy. That's all I really want. I don't need her to get a star for everything, right? So how does starting the prayer with our Father or Father shape our prayer life, right? Today, let's explore a little bit about that because it immediately shapes the tone or the mindset that we are approaching God. It is based on this profound father-child relationship. A relationship that captures everything I mentioned above, but in its most perfect form, in every way. It says, hallowed be your name. It points us towards authority and respect, not one that is a forced authority, you know, but one that is willingly given because this God, the Father, loves us imperfectly and unconditionally. Goes on to say, your kingdom come. Why? Because there is trust. There is respect. So therefore, naturally, our hearts would yearn to flow with God's purposes, with His authority. Well, not because we are being manipulated or at gunpoint or we are being forced to, but because God is worthy. A perfect Father. That is who we are praying to. And I will segue a little bit to say that we as fathers on this earth, we are given the privilege and honor to model this as best as we can for our children. We can come to God with a confident vulnerability. You see, we do not need to meet standards or score well and achieve great things before we can come to God. We don't need to know it all and ask great questions. You know, sometimes in class or in our work meetings, all right, the facilitator or host would say this very usual catchphrase, there is no stupid question. But really, every now and then, someone somewhere would ask a question that maybe was already answered before, right? And then maybe not you, but me, I got problem. I would judge this person, like, this person never listened me. Why he asked the question again? Already answered just now, right? But unlike God the Father, unlike me, God the Father, right, all He requires for us is to be at His feet, just as we are. Like Mary, right? Last week Reverend Alvin preached to us about Mary and Martha. We can ask any question, literally. If you got more questions, go for Alpha. There, other people will answer you also. You can ask the same question over and over and over again for your entire life until you meet Jesus face to face. Then you get the best answer. You can complain. You can get angry. You can cry. You can use whatever, right? Sometimes I even go as far to say whatever language you want. God has created all the languages. Why? Now, because we have a relationship with God. We're not here to perform. We're not here to fulfill some kind of made-up criteria. We are here to communicate. A recent Instagram post that I chanced upon has a mother sharing her reason for prayer. And the post goes a little bit like this. One of her teenagers asked her, "If God already knows everything, why should I pray?" So the mother answered, "You know, I go to all your football games. I pay attention. I know everything that happens. Right? I know who scored, who didn't score. I know who won, who didn't win. I know whether you fell, you didn't fall. But when you come home, I always ask, how was the game? Now, I do that because I want to connect with you. I find so much joy watching you retell the events from your perspective, hearing you process the things you experienced and learned. Now, if you say something defeating or negative about yourself, I want to take the chance to remind you of your worth. If you need my help, I want to do what I can. And if I can't make things better or change the situation, I want to let you know that I am there for you. It is not information I am looking for. It is a relationship." And I think God is the same way with his children. Approach with a confident vulnerability because God is your Father. My second point. We can pray boldly because God is willing. Now, unlike the friend who was already in bed, God is more than willing to meet our requests in prayer. I chose to read from the NIV version because there is a phrase there that I thought was more impactful. Okay, so Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 8 reads this. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one who inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Jesus is encouraging his disciples to pray with a shameless audacity. What a strong word. Because he wants us to come to him. He wants to hear us and he wants to meet the needs of his people. Now, this person in the story was asking on behalf of another friend. Nothing is too inconvenient for God. The friend gave the bread to avoid dishonor and to stay true to the cultural norms at that time. Right? At that time, hospitality was a huge thing. Right? If you're not hospitable, something is wrong with you. So he wanted to probably do that to avoid backlash, avoid reputation loss. In contrary, God is more than willing to overcome any kind of inconvenience, right? Or late night knocks to attend to a request. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. So thinking about it, actually asking is a posture of humility. When we ask God, I think we know we need God's help, right? Sometimes you hear this comment, "Hey, don't treat God as a genie." Yes, that sounds transactional. But after putting thought into it, I would actually argue that when we come to God to ask, and I mean really ask, right, not in an abusive, manipulative way, but you really ask God for something, I believe we know deep down that we can't do it on our own. And that is the posture of asking. Therefore, ask away. We come to a God that is willing. Do we hesitate when we come to God in prayer? Is there anything that we deem too small, too big, too silly, too selfish? Are we afraid God won't answer? One example of a prayer with a shameless audacity can be found in Exodus chapter 33, where Moses interceded for the Israelites after the golden calf incident. For those who don't know what a golden calf incident, all right, it is where the Israelites were led out of slavery from Egypt, and they went in, and of course God did many miracles, but instead of worshipping God, somewhere along the line, they decided to build this golden calf and started to worship this golden cow. I don't know why, but they did it, okay? And so God was very angry. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 to 3, he declared that he's not going to go with them to the promised land. We read from the scripture, "And God said to Moses, 'Depart, go out from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, "To your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites.'" Verse 3, "Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." Now God was angry. God was angry. However, Moses prayed a very brave, big prayer. Moses said to the Lord in verse 12, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you, in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And then God replied him, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. Consider too that this nation is your people. It was an audacious prayer. Imagine telling God to, in a way, change his mind. But yet God agreed to Moses' request. One other lesser known audacious prayer can be found in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 6, where King Hezekiah contracted a terminal illness and he was going to die. But he prayed to the Lord. Let's read. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, let's set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is right, what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Verse 4, and before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you from the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Two audacious prayer. But God heard, and God granted the request. Ask with a shameless audacity, because God is willing. My third point, we pray boldly because God is good. God always has an answer. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus explains that there will always be a response. Let's read verse 9. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus is saying that every time you come to the Lord, there will be a response. Jesus goes on to explain that God will never respond with something that would harm us. Talks about a fish versus a snake. Talks about an egg versus a scorpion. Verse 11, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus was preemptively dismissing any claim that God answers prayers with ill intent, with judgment, or with any intent to hurt us. He's saying that God is better than an earthly father. Therefore, how should we approach prayer? Fathers and parents will probably understand this example by Jesus well. How do we want children, our children, to approach us? Now, surely we would want them, if they are in a time of need, to come to us. In a time of lack, come to us. Time of confusion, come to us. We want to help you. We want to protect you. That is the heart of a parent. In the example of my daughter, I feel, you know, I want to build trust and security. And I hope that even when I say no, she knows that it is for her best interest and it's to protect her. That is the heart of a father. But Jesus concludes by saying the best gift actually is the Holy Spirit. His presence. This is so typical of Jesus. Right? He always starts off with the most natural answer, to answer them, meet them where they are. And then he always slowly works his way towards progressing his listeners, in this case his disciples, towards the spiritual things. He progresses his teaching from asking for things to asking for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! He will be given to those who ask him. In our prayers, what are we asking for? Have we at some point in our prayer journey included asking for the Holy Spirit, of whom the Father would freely give to you? You see, many times as we pray and ask the Lord for things, you know, it's not that it's wrong. It's important, and that is a huge part of the teaching. But may we also include and ask the Lord for the Spirit. When we pray, I believe it is an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. For myself personally, I find that in prayer, now there are moments where my heart miraculously changes to suddenly see things God's way. When I go to God angry, I was complaining, you know, unhappy about people around me. Suddenly I leave with a call to be humble, to forgive, to seek peace, be gracious, and accept people. I come to God with worn out from the toils of life. The Holy Spirit reminds me about eternal things. I'm not of this earth. Bring scripture into your minds. I come to God asking for help to achieve my goals. I want to achieve this by a certain age. Holy Spirit points me towards God's purpose for my life and how I can achieve God's goals. A greater purpose. Amen. So what is our perception of God when we come to Him in prayer? How we view God affects how we come to Him in prayer. Do we believe that God is good? Do we believe that God is a Father? Do we believe that God is willing? What is our image of God? And do we come to Him with an expectation of good? We can pray with a secure expectation because God is good and knows what is good for us. He works all things for the good of those who love Him. As I bring this to a close, a thriving prayer start, a life starts with knowing the Father and saturating our perception of Him as a good, perfect, heavenly Father. A Father that is willing, a Father that is good. And may our prayers be attempts to connect with God, not as a ritual. You share with Him what you need, share with Him about your day even, and bring ourselves eventually into alignment with His heart. But importantly, let our prayers be bold, not because we are irreverent or we are prideful or we are selfish, but because we can go to God simply as His child. That is the benefit of the Christian, the inheritance that we have. I close with two bold prayers from the Bible. But for me, I hold it very close to my heart. They come up in almost my daily prayers. The first is this, the prayer of Jabez. From 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. Just two verses, but so much power. Verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. He prayed for blessing. He prayed for God's presence to be with him. He prayed for protection. Protect me, Lord, from all evil and harm. That is what I say in my almost daily prayers. My next big one that I like and hold close to my heart is the prayer of Solomon, King Solomon, shortly after he became appointed as king as a very young boy. Verse 9, the prayer is very long, but I just pick on an excerpt, right? He says, "Now, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this. Now God asked him, "Solomon, you know, ask whatever you want, and I will give it to you." Solomon could ask anything in the world, but he asked for wisdom to govern the Lord's people. What a wonderful request. And God was so pleased that he gave him things on top of what he asked for. That is the power of a big prayer and knowing who your God is. And I pray for wisdom, right, to make good decisions for all of us in the business world. Wisdom to manage office politics. Wisdom to make the right decisions. Where to go? Ask the Lord for wisdom in all your dealings, how to bring up our children, how to minister to the people of God in our cell groups and lead the church, things like that. Wisdom, it pleases the Lord. How has your prayer journey been? Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, as we contemplate our prayer journey, I want us to remember that actually we come to God based on a relationship and knowing that we are loved. And that we can come to God not as a performance, but as His children. Deeply loved. He wants to hear us. He wants to supply and protect us. Thank you, Lord. And this time, I just also want to, you know, stay in an attitude of prayer. But anyone that has been inspired by today's message, you want this Jesus into your life, in a short while, I will lead you in a prayer. And you will invite Jesus into your heart. And you too will have that direct access to the Lord. And after that, I will end off with a prayer for the rest of us. Now, if that is you, you want Jesus into your life, you can repeat this prayer after me. We call it the sinner's prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I acknowledge that I have sinned and that I have done wrong. But I believe that on the cross, Jesus, you died for my sins and you rose again. I am now forgiven. I want to receive you into my heart and I want to follow you the rest of my life. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, please reach out to a Christian and they will be very happy to walk you through what you just prayed. Allow me to close us in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you that your word and your teaching, Lord Jesus, even today, Lord, it sheds light into our relationship with you. Father, draw us in as we pray to you, Lord. May you speak to us. May we see your face in every time we come to you. And may you also give us your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to pray that as we communicate with you, oh Lord, let our hearts be encouraged and turned towards you. And that, Lord, we will leave each prayer session, Lord, with you, whether it's just a short one sentence or whether it's at night at our bedside. Oh Lord, I pray that we will just feel your presence and grow our relationship with you. And Lord, you will be so real to us. May we live our lives knowing you as Father, as Lord, as Savior. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.